And thanks for tuning in for another episode of Fire Dispatch. I'm your co-host, Phil Wiss, and with me today I have my other co-host.
Yes, Union President Jeremy Bush.
I'm saying that right. We haven't done this in months.
I know. People are like, right now, they're like, oh, you guys are coming back again, huh?
That's why WoWo has never called me back.
Well, somebody just said we have a face for radio. So.
That is true. That is true. I got to get my hair cut, speaking of which. So.
Well, there's a lot going on the department. It has been, as Wiss said, it's been kind of several months. We want to get back to doing these more regularly and delivering messages to you, kind of what's going on in the union. And, we recently had a meeting with the mayor. I thought that went really well.
Yeah, I thought it did, too. Yeah, we... I can't remember the last time we sat down with him. I think it was back in 2019. Mm-hmm. I've seen him a few places here and there, but overall, I think it went really well. We had a chance to, kind of lay out things for him and hopefully have a strategy, have a plan for the Fort Wayne Fire Department.
Yeah, we talked a lot about what's going on within the department, some things that we're concerned over, et cetera. I felt like he was really receptive.
Yeah, I did too.
Adam Henry came with him. He took notes. I think that was important. I feel like we had a lot of positive conversation. We didn't try to dwell on anything negative, some things that we feel like, we want to try to work together with to make better on the fire department. And like I said, I feel like he was really receptive. So
yeah, I did too.
Going into next year, had a lot of conversations. People have been bringing some ideas through the stewards about negotiations. So we're in that, I guess, always looking for things that we can accomplish through negotiations. So we'll be utilizing Adam Henry again for that. That process will kind of start next year. We'll put out some information through the stewards, get some members' feedback. Another thing, I think this has had a positive impact on the membership. We had several meetings with the chief and then with the TRA board representatives and TRA leadership. And, one of the things that's been implemented here recently, the change of the dispatch protocols, before previously, a lot of the engine houses or engines were sent on things that, they probably shouldn't have been, or they were waiting on scene for 30, 45 minutes for ambulances. And these new dispatch protocols seem to be helping, at least the feedback I'm receiving. I don't know if you've received the same feedback, but that seems to be getting better out there for the engine houses.
Yeah, I think so. It's only been in place for a couple months, but I know from where I work, it seems like it's definitely helped with disregards.
Yeah.
For them transferring that to TRA dispatch and, talking to somebody different and allowing us an additional 8 or 10 seconds. I feel like this summer started off, we were getting disregarded quite a bit right when we pulled out of the rig. So, mm-hmm. or out of the station, sorry. So yeah, I feel like it's getting better. Hopefully it'll keep improving.
Yeah. One of the hot topics, that's kind of what we're here to talk about today, mandatories. This has been a hot topic really for a couple of years, but definitely more recently. There was a change in protocol. Chief sent some information out to discontinue mandatories. A lot of discussions about legality. So, we kind of wanted to talk about, our current status. One of the biggest issues that we have is manpower, right? We're 342 firefighters right now. My opinion, and I think, some others, we need to be at 375 to make sure that we're properly staffed, full staffing. One of the things I talk about continuously to folks is, I don't want to see people have any overtime. I want you to be able to work your third day every 3 days, go home to your family 2 out of those 3 days.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to operate. I think it's the most effective way to operate, and I think it's what allows you to be the healthiest and happiest. Money matters. I get that. I understand that. People like the opportunity to have that overtime to, buy a boat or buy extra things or et cetera.
Sure.
Our job, we want to make sure that you're making a good living wage and just work your general shift. So I would like to see overtime eradicated. I don't want to see any overtime for anybody. I want you to be able to go home, enjoy your family, go home and be happy and healthy. We realize and recognize that, that's not the case right now, and traditionally that's not the case. There's always going to be some form of overtime, right?
Sure.
But as much as of a commitment we can make to get full staffing, which, the union does not control, that's an administrative thing, we always want to make sure that we're advocating for full staffing of firefighters to alleviate that need that we have with firefighters having to step up and work those extra shifts. Some of the history of it, going back a couple years ago, we had this conversation, the question came up. We met with the chief. We talked to our state attorney and it was communicated to us that mandatories were legal. There's other departments in the state of Indiana that have mandatories, Anderson, other areas. They implement this necessity because they want to make sure they have full staffing, right?
Yeah.
So we're not unlike some of the other municipalities out there that have mandatory. So, But the chief had presented an issue with the state code and started questioning the legality of that. And my understanding, you know, based on what was submitted, there was a memo put out that said that mandatories were illegal. You know, I think our position as an organization is if the chief feels like something's illegal in violation of state code, then the chief has a responsibility to make sure that those things are discontinued, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether anybody challenges it or not, as a chief of the department, you have the responsibility and the ability to discontinue those things if you don't feel they're right. You know, fast forward to now, and we had a member challenge this situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a policy that outlines it. Our contract specifically states callbacks, which has always been traditionally mandatories. And the union's position is that mandatories are legal, not only because our attorney said that, but because other municipalities have implemented it. And even if you read through the state code as it's written, it talks about an average of 56 hours per week,
right,
which means that if you have time off, vacations, et cetera, those hours could be used as callback hours to fill those vacancies, mandatory hire back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or overtime. You know, I think it's important that we understand, you know, one of the things that I started reading through and understanding was, well, why do we have manpower? Why do we have 18 engine houses? Why do we have 4 people per rig? The union doesn't define that. Research, studies, OSHA, NFPA, the NIST study, National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Yeah.
They've researched these things, and they come up with optimal numbers to operate with, right? Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we always want to make sure is we're preserving is that firefighters have the proper resources, that they have the proper amount of manpower and rigs, et cetera, to make sure that you're operating safe and efficiently. And I want to really direct people to that NIST study because in my discussions through this mandatory conversation, that's what I went back to. I looked through that study that NIST did on the efficiency and effectiveness of firefighters on scene. They talked about dropping down to 3. They talked about dropping down to 2, the amount of people that were on scene. All of those things are important to make sure that we're putting the proper amount of people on scene and the proper amount of people in a rig. Now, why is that important? We've been shutting rigs down. And mm-hmm. in my opinion, that does not allow you as a firefighter to operate in the most safe manner, right?
Yeah.
It puts you at a compromised position. And safety has to be paramount in what we're discussing. Now, with that, we also say, what's the impact to you, your body, your emotional state? All these extra shifts take a toll on you, right? I mean, yeah. It has an impact on our mental health. We ran a poll, a couple of years ago.
Last year.
And, I mean, how about you? You know, you speak to some of those things that you read in there, Wes. I mean, I know it impacted you as well.
Yeah, I was it did bother me because I wasn't expecting people to be so open about it. I think if I remember right, I think we asked 5 questions and then we had a narrative section, a portion in there. And typically people don't fill out that narrative section, but you know, this is something that you and I've talked about this extensively in the e-board too. I mean, this isn't year one that we're dealing with these issues.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, a lot of this started with COVID and as far as the run volumes picking up. And then it seems like, especially for certain stations, it never went away. And that run volume just stays there and stays there. And, you know, just like anything else, we have issues and other things outside of our organization that complicate that, then, you know, we're doing our best to try to sit down and to mitigate some of those problems. But I think it was a real eye-opener for me to read people's narratives because they were very honest and open about it. And, you know, the one that really stuck out to me is, the toll on the family. Not just them. I think we employ a lot of proud people, and people don't typically want to complain or reach out for them personally. But I kept seeing that over and over and over again. You know, this is affecting my family. It's affecting my family. And just like last week, going around and passing out the ballots for the PAC vote. You know, I enjoy that. It's a hell of a 3 days in a row, a lot of stops.
Yeah.
And you know me, I can talk better than anybody. But I do enjoy it in the end. I mean, I was exhausted after 3 days, but looking back and I had a lot of really good conversations and all the places that I went to and talked but I still hear those narratives and, you know, it's been a year and, you know, that's the majority of the work that this e-board has been working on is trying to, you know, find solutions to better this department and to alleviate a lot of the extra additional stress to our membership. And it's kind of hard because it doesn't impact everybody equally. You know, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's impacting our officers. It's impacting our battalion chiefs. So the most. And, you know, anything that we can do to help alleviate that is worth it in my book.
You know, and I think that's important, you know, and I, you know, unfortunately, and we can always do a better job of it. We don't get to communicate all the things that we're trying to accomplish behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure.
See those. We try to communicate them through the stewards. You know, some of that information gets disseminated, some of it doesn't. But we are constantly trying to work behind the scenes to make things better and more efficient and effective for the firefighters out there. You know, I have to rely on the six of you extensively because I'm not in the engine houses right now. Mm-hmm. And I listen to the six of you provide feedback. I listen to the stewards provide feedback. It's not lost on us the impact it has on you and your family reading through those that poll. You know, things that stuck out to me is not only, you know, the family dynamic, but it's caused divorces, et cetera. People's
sure.
mental health has been affected. With that, we have to balance all of these things when we're looking at this and the big picture of everything. The human element has to be where we start, right? We start and we move back from that. We have to understand how it impacts firefighters, how it impacts their families. You have to be able to do your job efficiently and effectively. And all of those things have to be balanced. We have to make sure that you're providing the proper resources at work, that we have the proper manning, we have the proper staffing, mm-hmm. and we have to look at how those things impact your family. So looking at all of those things, that's where this discussion came from with the requirement for mandatory overtime. We need to make sure that we're doing what's best for the firefighters. We need to make sure we're doing what's best for the department and the citizens. And we balance those things in trying to find the best possible solution outside of properly hiring, because that's where it all starts. If we had proper staffing, we wouldn't have this conversation.
Sure.
And firefighters have to be thanked, because the reality is you continue to step up and do the right thing and go above and beyond and making sure this department is successful. So it all starts with you, it ends with you. And I know I want to share my appreciation, because it's not lost on me the sacrifices you're making, and I continually see you stepping up and doing what you need to do to make this department successful. So thank you for that. In that discussion, we've met with the city a couple different times, and we've come up with a tentative agreement. This is based on the state code. It's based on our interpretation. We both realize that there is it's legal to have a callback,
right?
But it has to fit within the parameters of what's in that state code. So we also have to take into account that even though it speaks to an average of 56 hours, and let's say the person out there, the average person has 10 or 12 vacation days, right? Mm-hmm. So you could be required to work those extra hours back. We believe the amount of sacrifice that the firefighters are making, we have to put a hold or a cap on the number of hours that somebody can work.
Right.
So we started this conversation and we looked at 8 extra shifts per year. We felt that was too much. We felt, based on the feedback that we had received, the amount of people that were impacted, especially, like you said, the officers, BCs out there, that's not to discount what happens to the firefighter out there. Work, you know, they've worked a couple, 2 or 3 every year. That's time away from your family. We recognize that impact. Some officers were impacted 3 days back-to-back in an 8-day period.
Yeah.
That's not okay. We have to do better than that. So we went back to the drawing board, discussed this as an executive board, and we came up with a cap of 4 mandatories mm-hmm. per year. You are capped out at a total of 4 mandatories per year. When we went back, we discussed this. I got some other feedback from some members. It made sense to me. We also needed to make sure we limited the number of mandatories that you could work in a pay period or a 2-week period.
Yeah.
So we discussed the idea of saying that it can only be 1 per pay period, because members have to have the ability to plan their lives and plan their day-to-day. And I had somebody tell me they couldn't even schedule a doctor's visit, et cetera, because they didn't know whether they were going to be up for mandatory.
Right.
So it's important that we find a balance with all these things and make sure that we have a mechanism that if we are riding short, that we have people that can come back and work, but also recognizing the exposure on our firefighters, the impact it has on their health and wellness and their families. Mm-hmm. So that's where this is coming from. You know, again, we appreciate everything that everybody's doing. We're working on other things to try to help alleviate this stress. The other side of this agreement will be a commitment to 375 firefighters, and the chief has made a commitment to making sure that this next class, there's appropriate amount of people in that next class to get to that 375 number. Mm-hmm. We've even talked about having extras, because if you look at the current, you know, academy, we started with 30 or 32 or whatever it was, and now we're down to 22. So we know we're going to have some loss in there.
Yeah.
So this next class, there's a commitment to, as soon as they graduate, we're going to turn around and start the hiring process again in this next class, or mm-hmm. for a next class. So those things are important. you know, I want to encourage, if anybody has any questions, contact one of the executive board members. Please feel free to reach out to me. Again, we're going to continue to disseminate information through the stewards, but you're going to also hear a commitment from the executive board that we're going to do these podcasts more frequently, because we feel it's important for you to get that information directly from us as well. I always want to be accessible to the members. If you have any questions at all, feel free to get a hold of me. And I know, you know, you feel the same way.
Well, the one thing I want to remind people, and I tried to do that when I went on my station visits, but, you know, some things take time, and it's hard to schedule on the city side, the union side, the chief side. Everybody's busy doing a lot of other things. So, you know, we're just as anxious as everybody else. We want to get things done and buttoned up and, you know, have agreements signed and have a plan moving forward. But sometimes that takes, it's just time. It just takes time to do it. To get everybody in the same room.
Yeah, it's a good.
This one took all summer,
it's unfortunate because it, you know, everything seems to take longer than what we think it should.
And oh yeah, for sure.
It does. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're thinking that something should be resolved in 30 or 60 days. Where, you know, for us it should be resolved in one day. It's easy for us to come, hey, let's get right. this done. But that's not the case, and that's not the process. And unfortunately, that comes at the expense of members having to wait for the information.
Yeah.
But it's also important for us, and it's incumbent upon us as your elected representatives, that we get this information to you as well, so you're not just sitting in the dark, you don't understand what's going on.
Right. Well, I think honesty is key. I mean, we've always done a good job with that. And for me, looking back and moving forward, as a firefighter, I just want you know, a roadmap. I think that would put a lot of people's minds at ease. I know it would put my mind at ease, you know, and I respect getting to know how the city works and how they operate. And, you know, I've always told firefighters that there's a lot of budgetary things to think of. There's, you know, what, 9 other departments. So there's a lot of things to consider that, but it would be nice to, I mean, this whole point of having a contract, right? We have a contract that says, hey, this is what is required and this is what's going to happen for 3 years. So I think if we, you know, if we continue to sit down with the city and continue to sit down and work with everybody, it would be nice, hopefully, to be able to come back to the firefighters and just say, hey, look, you know, here's a year laid out plan, or 2 years or 3 years, whatever it is, to help get this department back on track and, you know, move forward from there. So
yeah,
hopefully we'll achieve that. And next year, to your point, I mean, we're going to start contract negotiations. Mm-hmm. And I stress, just like you have for, you've told us all for all summer, you know, if you have any ideas or any suggestions for the next year's contract negotiations, be afraid to reach out to anybody.
Yeah.
And the trustee.
That's one of the things that we start that work way in advance. It's not done at the last minute. You know, we've already compiled all of the departments across the state as far as salaries, benefits, et cetera. So we've already done that again. We get to kind of, you know, bounce off of the presentation that was done in front of council by the city of Fort Wayne, talking about other city workers and the pay disparity.
Right.
So we'll get to kind of utilize that as we move into negotiations and look at where Fort Wayne still ranks in the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And we use all that information. We got to make sure we put it all together, you know, prior to the year where we negotiate.
Yeah.
So, well, I appreciate it. I think, you know, is there anything you want to add to any of that?
No, the last thing I'll say as a trustee, again, because I didn't get a chance to talk to everybody last week, but, you know, this summer, I know I personally reached out to people, and if you can't get a hold of your union president, you can't get a hold of principal officers, reach out to your trustees. I mean, go through your stewards. I mean, that process is evolving as the year goes on, and it's getting better. But I know it makes me feel good that, you know, I've had at least 4 or 5 people reach out to me in a week. And, you know, don't forget that, you know, we review the president's phone calls and text messages, and they're still high.
But I'm always available.
I know you are, but I'm just saying, I always throw that plug in there. I really do, because just yesterday I had a member reach out. Well, hey, I don't know about this. I called, and, you know, they're going to get back to me. And I said, no problem. You know, we'll get it done. But just don't be afraid to ask questions or to call any of us. It's not
Absolutely.
A bother at all.
I agree.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
All right, buddy. Well, hope you guys have appreciated today's podcast. If you have any feedback or any ideas that we can do on future podcasts, please let us know.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Talk to you later.
Take care, guys.